Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see each of you today. Welcome to Cut Bank Community Bible Church. I myself am excited today, as excited, I guess, as I get. I know it's hard to tell, but I'm excited. It's always a blessing when we have a child dedication service. We're departing from Isaiah this week, and I want to remind you of the song and praise service next week. And so I would encourage you again to just be thoughtful about what God has done in your life, how he's blessed you through scripture, and be prepared to have a time of public testimony next week. I'm sure it'll be a blessing. Today we are going to focus on the child dedication service, and so I'm going to speak from Psalm 139 and Deuteronomy 6, hopefully briefly. We don't want to have anybody get too restless, and we don't want the service to go too long, so I'm going to try to abbreviate it. You heard me say I'm going to try to abbreviate this sermon. I'm going to ask before we get started if you would pray with me. Oh Lord, again, we come to you with hearts of thanksgiving. I thank you, oh God, that you are good. I thank you that you are holy, that you are high and lifted up. You are so far above us, even as the psalmist David reflects upon your activity in his life. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us the desire to humble ourselves before you, to recognize at least as far as humanly possible, how great you are, and give us a sense of awe as we come into your presence. Oh God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is a sure guide and an anchor for us in times that can be trying and troubling. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you reign above all. You are sovereign. You are omniscient. You know what is going on. You are omnipotent. You are the one who holds all power. And indeed, you are omnipresent. You know what's going on everywhere, because everywhere is where you are. And so help us to recognize these facts about you and to internalize them and to place our faith duly in Christ Jesus. Lord, we love you, and again, we just want to thank you for the time of child dedication. I thank you personally, Heavenly Father, for the parents, the grandparents, the family members, and their desire to commit their ways to you and to commit even their children to you. And so bless them, I pray, as we continue. Bless us, Lord, as we look into your word. We ask, Lord, and thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us into all truth. And we ask you to do so in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I'm going to be talking again for a few minutes from Psalm 139. Don't worry, I'm not going to take the whole psalm. I'm going to focus in on verses 13 through 18. Psalm 139 is perhaps one of David's most well-known and beloved psalms. It's a short but a comprehensive psalm in which David expresses the realities of the human mind. He expresses that the realities that the human mind might touch but will never fully comprehend. It's a psalm in which God's infinite attributes, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence are declared openly. And then in the last six verses of the psalm, he talks about what a fitting response to these facts of God's attributes would be. In Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, and just to try to kind of catch us up to where we will be in the middle of the psalm, David acknowledged the fact that God is all-knowing. Now, we often think in terms of God's omniscience in in world events. But what David does is he homes in on the fact that God knows every detail about his life. God knows us as individuals. He knows everything that is going to happen. He knows all of the challenges we are going to face. Nothing about David's life was hidden from God. Beloved, nothing about our lives is a secret to God. In verses 7 through 12, David spoke of God's omnipresence, the fact that God is everywhere at all times. As he reflected upon God's omniscience and omnipresence, God then turned to the reality of God's omnipotence, that is talking about God being our all-powerful creator. I think it's fitting that as before we delve into the David's thoughts regarding how God had created him in the womb, that first we need to understand that people, particularly God's people, and even kind of drilling down to the dedication service today, children are a gift from God. Psalm 127:3 reads, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." I think it's necessary to remind ourselves of God's personal activity in fashioning not only David, but all of his people. I will say all human beings. We need to remember that God was intimately involved in fashioning each of us. It's true of our children as well. And we drop down now to Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. And listen as I read this portion of scripture where David now is speaking to God. Psalm 139, verse 13. "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O Lord, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book all were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." God's power is reflected or alluded to as David reflects upon God's activity in the human life prior to that life being shown in the world. It is true, isn't it, that after a couple of months of being pregnant, the woman starts to show, but we really don't understand exactly everything that is going on in the womb. We wonder when the child is born, will he look like dad, or will he look like mom, grandma, or grandpa, we just have all these questions surrounding the baby that God is growing within the womb. God is speaking here in a sense of himself, or David is alluding to God as the creator. In other psalms, we can look at God as the creator of the world. In this psalm, David is speaking of God as the creator of human life. I want to be very straightforward about this, beloved. This psalm is often used to those just to prove the fact that life begins at conception. Beloved, ever since when conception occurs, God is busily at work finishing the product of that child. Human life begins at conception. God is at work in the womb from the very beginning. Sometimes when we think of that baby, and obviously with today's technology and medical knowledge, we can tell some things about a child in the womb that were never even dreamt of in David's day. We can do tests and try to figure out what, if a person is, meets up to the standards that we hoped for. Moses complained a little bit when God had called him into his service and said, "You're going to be a spokesman for me, Moses." And Moses replied to him, "You know what, God, I really can't speak at all. I stutter, I'm slow of speech. I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in times past." It's as if Moses is saying, "You know what, God, I can't do what you're calling me to do. Even from a child, I've never been able to do these things." God responded to him in Exodus 4:11. "Moses, who has made God's man's mouth? Who has made man's mouth or makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Beloved, we have a tendency to, in our society, to measure the value of a person based on whether they are going to meet our expectations after they're born and in the lives that they live. Beloved, God knits together in the womb, making seeing or blind, being mute or deaf, doing all these things. God takes responsibility for the child or that he gives to us. God knew all about us even as he was making us, beloved. This expresses the intentionality of God in forming this child. He knows all about us. For David, he knew what color David's hair would be. God knew way beforehand that he was going to be the runt of the litter in that family. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But God even knew that I wasn't going to be the sharpest light in the drawer. God knows these things, beloved, and yet he makes us, he fashions us for his intentions, and he knows everything about us. David expresses that even down to knowing the number of days that we would live. In verse 16, David writes, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me." God knows how many days on this earth we will live. I will just say parenthetically, I have found out, just because God has granted me enough days, that I have never heard of anybody dying according to the right number of days, at least in our minds. Here's what happens, and people either die too soon, and we regret it because they died young, some even while being formed in the womb. Sometimes we live too long. And that's when most of us would think of outliving our bodies, outliving our minds. We have a tendency to think that this person serves no purpose because we can't see God's purpose in that. And yet there is purpose. God knows the number of the days of our lives, and he knows all about not only how many days each of us will live, God knows the challenges we are going to face. Again, in the child dedication service, what we hope to do is to teach children how to respond. God makes us and creates us for his purposes. As you know, sin has entered the world. Sin has kind of challenged our thinking and our behavior. And parents are to be those who guide this child into responding correctly in a godly way to the circumstances they will face. We face uncertain days, don't we? And yet God can be trusted because he has purpose. Sometimes I wonder if we thwart the plans of God. We don't, but sometimes that question comes up. God works, he knows. And he's driving all things, bending history, as we've talked about in Isaiah, toward his purposes. But godly parents are those who will teach their children about God Teach children how to respond to Him. Teach children how to place their faith in Him and trust Him, come what may. We live in uncertain times. God knows all about the length of our days. He also knows about the content of our days. God has fashioned David. God has fashioned you for His purposes. God has fashioned the children among us for His purposes. How are we to respond to what God has done? We are to respond in joyful obedience. We are to respond in awe of God, who is omniscient, is omnipresent, is omnipotent. We are to respond to Him in faith. I've got a question. I guess it's, I hope you all know the answer to. What in the world, if we regard all these attributes of God, and in particular the fact that God has formed us and knit us for His purposes, how should we respond to those who God has formed? Well, I think an appropriate response for each of us is that we would love them. We should love our children, beloved. That doesn't mean that we're going to give our children whatever they want. It means we are going to sacrifice for them. We are going to give of ourselves for them. And we are going to do what is right for them. We are to love our children and to love them diligently. We are to love our children for what God, how God has created them and for who God has created them to be. We are to shape our children into being the kind of children He wants them to be. How do we love our children? Well, as we continue, we find out that we are to teach our children. We are to teach them, and now I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy 6, a familiar portion of Scripture known as the Shema, which comes from the word hear. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I will start in verse 4. Hopefully, if I talk about grandparents or such, you'll know that as Moses was speaking, he was talking about the parents and the grandparents of these little ones. On the brink of his own death, Moses, because he was not allowed to go into the promised land, he would die on the outside, but on the brink of his own death and the Israelites' entrance into the promised land, Moses addressed the people of God with words of instruction in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And again, this is where we get the word, the Shema is from here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. With this, if I could encapsulate these verses, what I would say is that God has given children to us to learn, to help them learn to love God. We are to teach our children about God. We're to do so in formal settings, in informal settings, and spontaneously. Beloved, we are to teach our children from morning till evening, all the time. We are teaching, whether we realize it or not. These verses highlight a few important truths about the raising of godly children. First, those who want to raise godly children, do you want to have godly children or godly grandchildren? The challenge here and the call is to be godly yourselves. This is addressed to the parents and to the grandparents of those who are teachers of their children. Be godly yourselves. How do you do that? We recognize and submit to God's position of authority in our lives. It is God who is one. It isn't you. It isn't a child. It is God who reigns over us. Godly parents manifest commitment to Him and demonstrate their love for Him by prioritizing the place of God's Word in their hearts and by joyfully obeying Him. Secondly, it's necessary for parents and grandparents to increasingly love God with every fiber of their being. Now again, we all know we don't do that, but I think the key is that we are increasing in our love and our knowledge of God. It is our goal to love God and to submit to Him and to love Him with every fiber of our being. We are to embed the Holy Scriptures upon our own hearts, and we are to teach the children the Scriptures themselves. We are to give ourselves entirely to God's purposes for our lives, and we are to release our children for God's purposes for their lives. I was speaking with these parents and dinner the other night, and just the fact that too often we want our kids to be what we want our kids to be. And if God calls them into a different vocation or into a professional ministry of some sort, or whatever that difference might be, beloved, godly parents and grandparents submit their own will for their child to God's will for them. And so we don't hold them back from going the way that God wants them to go. That's the difficult part, isn't it? Is trying to be discerning and trying to know the child and knowing the bent and the activity of the Lord in their lives, and then being able to encourage them to go down the path that God has destined them for. Thirdly, godly parents and grandparents are to continually work at teaching their children the Holy Scriptures and the ways of God. How do we do that? By giving attention to our own spiritual life, by internalizing God's Word. That Word is to be written on our hearts. That means it is to be a controlling force in our thinking and in the ways we treat each other. By becoming adept at viewing the world through the lens of Scripture and learning to joyfully obey God. I was thinking as I was preparing, probably, as a way of personal bad testimony, I wasn't too bad about making children obey. I could do that. The trick is to get children to obey out of a joyful heart. And beloved, that is one reason I know that God has saved me, because God's laws are no longer burdensome to me, as John, the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 4. A goal of mine is to obey God, and it is a delight on the few occasions when I think that is truly happening. Beloved, we are to teach our children obedience, but we are also to teach them about joyful obedience to God. We are to give attention to our own spiritual life. We are to internalize the Word of God. We are to pray to God, our Creator. We are to have a relationship with Him. These things enable a parent or grandparent to minister to the children in their care, day by day and moment by moment, regardless of what each day has in store. We are to be in agreement with the Lord as He transforms our thinking and behavior into the likeness of Jesus, and we are to model that transformed thinking and behavior to our children. Beloved, we are to teach our children in a formal setting, in the informal setting, and spontaneously throughout the day. All day long, we need to be engaged in the work of creating an environment for our children where God reigns supreme. Our relationships are to exhibit the love, grace, and forgiveness of God toward us. And as a result of God's love, grace, and forgiveness toward us, we are to demonstrate the love, grace, and forgiveness of God toward others. We model God's love, grace, and forgiveness in our daily lives, not only to our children, but as we interact with people at large. Beloved, kids see, kids hear. Kids are the ones that will typically say of their parents or mom or dad, they're hypocrites, because they understand the things that they say, and then they also catch when we fail short and we don't do what we told them to do or what we've tried to teach them to do. Children are very perceptive, aren't they? They understand what bitterness and unforgiveness is all about. Beloved, we are to forgive each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven us. We are to model Christian forgiveness for our children, and a genuine Christian forgiveness. Now, having said that, I come to the obviously, right? Everybody's thinking, wow, you know what? I think maybe I failed a time or two in the raising of my children. Anybody here failed? Okay, no one? Okay, no, okay. Gary, you and me, bud. We got a two-person club. But obviously, there's going to be times when we fail, right? We fail in raising our children. We are frustrated. We frustrate our children when they see what we're talking to them about, trying to teach them about, and yet aren't doing it ourselves. It's true, isn't it? None of us are perfect. This side of heaven, none of us are perfect. The club includes everybody. We all fail. Not just those who will admit it. I'll say that our failures make a wonderful opportunity for us to model the forgiveness of Christ. We can teach our children about the love and the grace, the mercy and the forgiveness of God, you know, because we fail. And so we can relate the practicality of the theory of forgiveness when our children see us fail, whether it's in the house, in our relationships with each other, whether it's our unforgiveness, to those that we rub shoulders with every day. That is a great chance to talk about how I was before God, the struggles I continue to have as I try to walk with God and do so imperfectly. It's a great opportunity to teach children from experience that no, we're not perfect. And yes, we disappoint a lot of people, not only you children. Not only will we disappoint the children, now, I could be wrong here, I don't know all of you that well. There might be times when your children disappoint you. Don't anybody say amen. Especially if your children are listening. Our children will disappoint us. And again, this is a perfect time to demonstrate the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God. Beloved, teach them about the forgiveness of God. Be a good forgiver. Understand, learn what true forgiveness means, what that entails and then teach your children the particulars, and more importantly, demonstrate that by truly forgiving them. Just a little bit of advice for you younger parents. Remember that you're in it for the long haul. Oftentimes, I think raising children is like God's investment program. He tells us to, He gives us a certain amount of capital, if you will, and He tells us to work with it, and He tells us how to work with that capital. And then He says, but don't expect that you're going to have an immediate payout. Well, Evan, parenting is a long-term proposition. How old is my youngest? I think turning 30 in about a month. You know what? Yeah, and my oldest turning 40. It's like everything all you older people have told me is true. You're still parenting your children even though they're adults, right? It's a long-term investment. But listen, God, I'm not going to say this as a promise, but as a maxim, we are told to keep raising our children, to train up our children in the ways they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. I know in my own life, just as a matter of experience, I was very, I would say, spiritually sensitive. I'm not saying saved. And yet, when I came to a certain age in life, probably most of you people can raise your hands and say, me too, I kind of went my own way. And finally, God corralled me and brought me to Himself. And it's like the teaching of Mom had paid some dividends. Beloved, we're in it for the long haul. Because you don't see immediate results isn't an excuse to give up. Beloved, we keep teaching our children in the ways they should go. We try to gently help and correct them. Those are acts of faith in what God has said He will do. And so we continue to pray for them even though they've gone completely off the path. They've disappointed us, and so we don't say, okay, they've disappointed us, and so I'm not going to have anything to do with them. Beloved, we keep praying for them. We keep giving good, godly counsel. We remember that should God bring a heart of repentance, they are going to be forgiven in an instant by us. Beloved, we need to model these things. We need to not give up on what God has said He will do. A parent's love and commitment to his word are like God's investing program. That is investing a biblical currency for the spiritual future of those you love and care for. We keep doing what God has called us to do because He has promised that He is going to do something with our efforts. We keep praying that those efforts are fulfilled and that the heart will be become sensitive to God. Our part? Be faithful. Don't give up. Be a good example. And trust God for the results. His results. In His time. Don't give up. I want all of you who are parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, family, friends, any kind of relation at all, I want each of you to remember that with children, those people that God has placed into our care are a blessing from God. We should respond because God has made them as individuals and as people for us to love. Love them. Beloved, how are we going to love them? Well, we're going to teach them. We are to spend our energies in caring for those whom God has placed under our care. Love them and teach them. I'm going to ask those who are coming, who have come and expressed interest in the child dedication, I'm going to ask Ian and Christy bring Harrison and Ida Arlette up, Tyson and Allie. Bring Billy Joe Adeline and Hattie Marcia Duma up. Sam and Jess, bring up Noah. And any of you family members who wish to be a part of this and commit to helping in this endeavor of raising godly children, please join us. I'm going to remind all of you that a Christian dedication ceremony is a declaration of intent to intentionally raise these children in the fear, knowledge, and love of God. The parties are making a public commitment. Beloved, you standing here are making a public commitment to create a home environment wherein the children gain an accurate perception of the Lord, an understanding by which those children are drawn to Him, and by the grace of God at some time in their lives to enter into the abundant life that Jesus promises His followers. The participants are going to affirm that children are a gift from God who has entrusted them into your care, that you are to care for the child's physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. I want to emphasize that the practice of child dedication does not imply the salvation of the child. In other words, this is not a means of saving grace. Your children are not coming into a knowledge of Christ Jesus because of this ceremony. This again is an intent on your part to raise them in such a way as to make that grace readily received. It's like tilling the ground to receive the seed of the gospel. I think of it also as kind of, even though we can't make a decision for a child to come to the Lord, we can certainly pave the road such that coming to the Lord is as bump-free as possible, right? Salvation only comes as a person who places their faith in Christ Jesus. It is His sacrifice on the cross and the reception or the appropriation of Christ's death on the cross for our sins that we are saved. You're going to acknowledge your responsibility to teach your children about God. Right now you're making a public commitment to do so. Ian and Christy, in the presence of God and these witnesses, do you commit yourselves by the grace of God to the task of creating a home environment of godly love and peace, and to raise Harrison Larry and Ida Arlette Curtis in accordance with God's word and biblical principles? If so, please answer, we do. Tyson and Allie, in the presence of God and these witnesses, do you commit yourselves by the grace of God to the task of creating a home environment of godly love and peace, and to raising Billy Joe Adeline? Did I say it right, Billy Joe? Good. Hattie Marcia and Trace Oliver Tuma in accordance with God's word and biblical principles? If so, please answer, we do.
We do.
Sam and Jess, in the presence of God and these witnesses, do you commit yourselves by the grace of God to the task of creating a home environment of godly peace and love, and to raising Noah R.C. Taylor in accordance with God's word and biblical principles? If so, please answer, we do.
We do.
As witnesses and participants in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we at Cut Bank Community Bible Church have a part to play in preparing the soil of the hearts of these children to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We can help teach Harrison and Ida, Billy Joe, Hattie and Trace, and Noah in the ways of God. We can pray for and encourage these families and encourage them in their spiritual well-being. If you would commit before God and each other to pray for these families as the Lord brings them to mind, to help teach and train them as opportunities arise, and to encourage them to stay the course, and to encourage these children to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins as they enter into life with Him as their Lord and Savior, please say, we will. We will. And now I'm going to ask if you'd join me in prayer. Oh God, we've learned from your word that the raising of children is a serious and often daunting task. I thank you, oh God, again for these families and for these children. And I just pray, oh God, that you would help the parents, the grandparents, aunts, uncles, all who are involved in the day-to-day care of these children to be good examples, to teach them intentionally about your word, and to, by example, demonstrate and testify of the change that God has made in their lives. Oh God, by your good grace, we ask that you would draw these children to yourself, and that each day, that for each one at the end of the day, that they would know you as their Lord and Savior. When the final entry in the book is written, the book of life is written, may we find each of these parents and grandparents and children's name written in that book. We love you, O God, and we thank you for your extreme goodness to us. We thank you for your word, which helps us to know of you. And we thank you, Lord, of your spirit, who teaches us. Help us all, O God, to take the part that you've called us to in the raising of these children and to the testifying of your goodness and grace. We love you and thank you. It is in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, and so, okay, and since Harrison got away, this is for Harrison, you and Ida. Okay, I guess Billy Joe, you can take yours. Hattie, here's yours. That's a certificate of dedication. And for Trace, and here's one for Noah. And you can all be seated.
Who are committed to raising their children as the Lord would have them.